Okay, well, for those of us who are here for Bible class, we got the opportunity to hear from Benoy and some of the work that they've been able to do, and specifically kind of what that's looked like the last year over there in India. And so we're also going to get an opportunity to hear the message preached. So I'm not 100% sure what he has, but I know that it's going to be filled with a lot of energy. And I guess if I could say anything, I was already super excited that these guys are going to be here. And now I'm really excited because Kendall preached the message that I have prepared for you guys. So now you don't get a double shot of that, and we get the opportunity to hear what Benoy has for us. Just appreciate this guy and his family. Got to see how the Word of God isn't coming just from Benoy, but from his wife and his kids, and they're getting the gospel out there. So that's great. Just appreciate the authenticity that you bring, brother. Come on up.
Good morning. It's good to be back here after 4 years and to share with you guys. And it's been amazing what God has been doing. And I hope the things I shared this morning was an encouragement to you all. A lot of the things that you saw up here during this lockdown, that was inspired by the virtual family camp. You guys remember the virtual family camp that I think some of the brethren had put together across the country? So that was a tremendous inspiration to us, and that was at a time where we were very much discouraged there in India. And when I saw that being done with brethren all over the country, and even in Ghana, West Africa, my father-in-law from Jeff Hostetter from Ghana was preaching a message, and it was kind of exciting. Hey, we can do that locally. We should do more of that. And that inspired the Facebook Live and the World Changers online outreach ministry. So, again, it is, you guys are all a great inspiration. I can't say that enough. So, I got my Mary Poppins bag. Don't mind me. So, I'll put it right back here. We got some things going on. I'll hide it over here. You can't see that. Shh. Can't see my Mary Poppins bag. I need a volunteer. Who would like to be brave enough to come up here and volunteer? Ah, I see someone. All right, come on up, buddy. No, okay, look at that. Brave guy. Come on, give me a high five. Yeah, all right. Okay, I want you to hold this. Okay, before I hold it, I'm going to tell this. This is, you know, we got a tape measure here. I think you might have seen this illustration maybe somewhere else, or if not. Our time on this earth is very short, isn't it? It's very, very, very short. We got, the Bible says we got about 80 years? Psalms 90 says that. And this, I like to represent that with this black. Can you see this little black tape right here? Can you guys see that? That's our time on this earth. Let's represent that. 70 or 80 years with this black little tape. And what's after that? Might be COVID that gets us, or it might be a heart attack. Maybe something else. You want to hold that for me? Okay. Then what happens after that? After that 70 or 80, maybe let's say we get 100 years. Wow, you get to live to be 100. Maybe Mrs. Thomas, my wife over there, the couple of last week, she was looking up people who've lived the longest. I think she found somebody in where? Japan? Was it Japan or somewhere? Yeah? Okay, 120? 120 or more? What? 116, yeah, the 116, wow. 116, right? Okay, you get to live to be 116 years old. Okay, what then? What then? What's after that? Just my neighbor who lives, who has a business, he has a gas station down the street from me, and just about 2 weeks ago, he went across, he told his wife, I'm just going to go across the street, go to the business and go check the gas station and do some accounts and be right back. You know, just warm up the dinner and I'll be right back. I'm just, his house is on one side and his gas station is on the other side. So he crossed the highway and he was crossing the highway and coming back and he got hit by a motorcycle, dead on the spot. You know, just told his wife, I'm just going to go check on some accounts and I'll be right back. He's gone. His life is over. He was 70 years old. That's it. Our time on this earth is very, 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 very short. And then comes what, guys? Eternity! Eternity, right? The world wants us to focus on what? Wants us to focus on what? That little tiny... What? That little tiny what? Yeah, the now. Wants to focus on eating and eating our hamburgers, nice juicy hamburgers, and maybe enjoying our life on this earth and taking care of our physical body, you know, wearing our masks and protect your body, you know, keep yourself safe. But what's then? What's after that? What is that? I'm going to wrap this guy over here. Eternity, right? It's eternity, and it just goes on and on. Oh, yeah, she's scared. She's running away from me, right? It just goes on and on and on. It goes on. So what is, it's a long time. It's a long time. That's my point this morning to you guys, is that our life on this earth, you're really good at this. Man, I should take you to India with me to help me out there. So our time on this earth is really, really short, guys. And that's part of my message for this morning. Can you help me pull this in? Yeah, it's a lot. So, but eternity is a long, long time. Our mindset, our focus should be on what will help us to get to the right place in eternity. Right? Wouldn't that be smart? Wouldn't that be a smart thing to do? Thank you. So, you know, God has given us so much, hasn't He? You guys excited to be in Christ? I'm super, super excited to be in Christ and to live the life that He has given us. You know, He has given us so much. He has given us so much. He has washed our sins away. You guys know all this stuff. You get powerful preaching preached at you Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday evening and fabulous family camps and messages after message after message. Our sins are washed away. We're not just washed sinners. We are new creations. We are holy. We are blameless. God has come to dwell in us. God, the infinite, the star breather, the planet maker, the one who made Betelgeuse and Canis Majoris. Wow. Wow. He dwells in you and I. That is the treasure that we have been given, more greater than all the things of this earth. Men search after gold and silver, and they search for oil and other things. Bitcoin, you know, Bitcoin nowadays. Now there's something else. What's doggy coin? What is that? What's that? Am I, what? Doggy coin, I don't know what, I don't keep up with it, I'm sorry. Doggy coin, kitty cat coin, I don't know what it is. But there's also some other treasure that the prince of this earth wants you to seek with all your heart. You can seek after those things and you might get another 5 more years of life. You might get the best health care and you get the ventilator. Okay, everybody wants, you know, all over India, they're all wanting the ventilator, oh, or else we're going to die. Yeah, yeah, you might get a ventilator, and you might get to live another year or two or three or 10, or what then? If you are not in Christ, where will you go, Mark? Where will you go if someone is not going to be, is in, not in Christ? Eternity in the lake of fire, right? Right, brother? Right, eternity in the lake of fire. See, God has given us a new life, a new beginning. Anybody like a second chance? Anybody here like second chances? You like second chances? I like second chances. I praise God that I've been given a second chance. You know, we've all been given a second chance. Woohoo! That is something to get excited about. Woohoo! I like second chances. You know, I've made mistakes in my life, but God has been gracious to wash my sins away and has given His Spirit. And if we, let's go to 2 Corinthians 2, 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. In Christ, we can have freedom. Yeah, they might tell you in India, we have to wear the mask on the plane. We had to wear double, you know, some people were wearing double masks and a face shield. And then they have the suit on. If, you know, it was like some sort of sci-fi movie. We got on the plane. I'm like, whoa, dude, this is crazy. You know, this is crazy. Gnarly, dude, this is crazy. But. Is it okay if we have to do that for the sake of the gospel? Is there a problem with that? If that will help us to share the gospel, I don't know how, but how to communicate through sign language or something, I don't know. But if it means it will help somehow get the word of God, if you got to wear all of that to get to where you need to go to share the gospel of Christ, is it worth it? Yes! Yes, anything and everything. See, we're not for all this vaccine stuff that's going on, but if we've had to take vaccines to go into Africa. You want to go to Africa and preach the gospel? You better get vaccinated for yellow fever. Right? So, okay, shoot me up. I need to get there. I need to get to where I need to go to share the eternal life message of hope, because everything else is dead. Everything else is dead. There's no other hope. People are dying every single second. They're going into the lake of fire. See, God has given us Spirit, His Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, our veils have been removed, guys. Amen? The veil is removed. We're not like the denominational world. We know what true hope is. This hope has to be, we have to be sent out throughout the world, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Mirror, what mirror? Where's this mirror you're talking about, Benoit? Right here, the Word of God. James talks about it, right? Intently looking into the Word of God, you get to see who you are, where you are, right? And whose you are, as Brother Steve Doty talks about. This is our identity is when we look into the scriptures. If we start watching Netflix and Disney and all the other stuff, would we find out our true identity? You know, Amazon, all that stuff out there, and there's so many other things. Facebook, if we spend our time gazing, oh, okay, how many likes did I get today? Oh no. Oh no, I got only 35 likes. Oh no. It's like the wicked witch of the, you know, you start shriveling up or something. What, you know, is our identity based on what Facebook says? What this guy and that gal over there says about us? No, it's what Jesus says. What Jesus says is the only thing that matters to me and you and I. His words, what He says is, you are holy, brother. You're blameless. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I love you and you belong to me. To me. There's going to be some carnage here. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. I'm starting to break things. So you belong to me. That's the identity God is trying to imprint on our hearts and minds. Right? Okay. What is this? Alrighty.
I'm in trouble. I'm like my father-in-law. Uh-oh. I haven't done it. Okay. Oh, I know. I figured it out.
Oh, got it. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. God is good to me.
Second chance.
Yes, second chance. That's right, brother. Praise God for those second chances. I see Jared coming right at me because I thought I broke it or something. So, you know, God is so good. He has given us His Spirit to indwell in us to be victorious. Anybody want victory? We all want victory, and we can do it in Christ. We can overcome the circumstances we're living in, the challenges that are all around us. The world tries to tell us, you're just nothing. You're a loser. You just continue. Because you grew up in this environment, because your father was like this, you got to be the same way. Your grandfather was like this. Because of drugs or alcohol, you got to continue that same cycle. No, in Christ, we have a new ancestry. You know, you don't have to go to ancestry.com to find this out. You got to go to read the scriptures. You find out who your father and your ancestors are. Right? As brother was talking about David and, you know, the great men of faith, we have been grafted into that wonderful family. The faith of Abraham is our faith. You know, the things that David did is an example for us. The Goliaths, we in Christ defeat the Goliaths in our life because of His Spirit that dwells in us. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16. Can I get some water, please? Elijah, Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. We have an outer man and we have a inner man. Yeah, the Bible is not really hard. It's pretty simple. You know, where should our focus be? On the outer man? I need to, you know, get my tan, you know? Get my tan. Oh, this is a nice time to get tan. You know, focus on my, oh, no, you know, my hair's not growing. Oh, no, you know, focus on my, you know, physical outer man. Should that be my attention? This man is deteriorating every single day. Our focus should be on the inner man. Guys, what the focus of our life should be to strengthen our inner man so that we can do more good. Amen? We can do a lot of good. There's so much, so many Jesus here right now in this room than there was in the first century. All of you are Jesus to the world. You have Christ dwelling in you. You can walk like Him. You can talk like Him. You can do the things, right? Bring glory and honor. Isn't that awesome? In Christ. Same. So that the Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be what? Partially? You know, you can get 2%, you know, like the milk. You know, you get 2% milk and you got 1% milk. 1% of the fullness, 1% of God? No, fullness of God. Fullness of God. Wow. The fullness. Now to Him is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Tremendous power. Tremendous. The Holy Spirit is Christ Jesus dwelling in you and I. Verse 18 and 19. I love it. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Right? And to know the love of Christ. That you may be filled up to the fullness. 100% of God dwells in the Christian through faith. Through faith, God dwells in you and I. See, every individual Christian is priceless in the eyes of God. There should be lines. You know, there's on the news, you see lines of people getting, they need to get vaccinated, right? They're lining up. Please vaccinate me. In India and in Africa and in China and so many places around the globe, people are anxiously getting ready. They want to get vaccinated. How much more should we be, the focus should be to be immersed into Christ. Immersed into Christ because what? Because what? The eternity. Our eternity hangs in the balance. Our eternity hangs in the balance. That is so much more. Our physical, we need to take good care of our physical well-being. You know, we need to eat right and take care of our body, vitamins and things like that. All that is good. But much more should be on our inner man, our relationship with our Creator. Could you think of anything more valuable than this great treasure of having God dwell in you? Is there anything greater than that? No, there's nothing. You know, the all of God. It just blows my mind to think that God wants to dwell in me. In India, there's one of the, I think, most most expensive, I guess it is, religious centers. It's about, in the southern part of India, it's called the Padmaswami Temple. One of the, you know, it's more worth more than the mosques and the religious shrines in Saudi Arabia or the Vatican. It's like worth $17 billion, one of the temples in southern India. $17 billion. Wow. But God, you know, it has lots and lots of gold and things like that. You know, when brother was talking about the Lord's Supper meditation and talking about the Solomon's Temple, you know, it's built with gold, lots and lots of gold. It's according to scholars, it's worth over $250 billion. It would be, you know. But is that what God builds? Is that what God is interested in? Is that what our Father is interested in? Gold and silver and diamonds and rubies and sapphires? No. Now, what is He looking for? What does He build His temple with? Living stones. And you are a living stone. In 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says there, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." See, we have been bought to be a fit dwelling place for God. See, it's just amazing that God would want to come and dwell in me and you. He wants it. He could, you know, the heavens cannot hold the Lord Almighty, Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 66. But God wants to dwell in you and I. That's just amazing. See, the gold and silver and all that was too cheap. He wants to dwell in us. See, how do you feel about that? It's like, wow, you're royalty. In the eyes of the Lord Almighty, you're royalty. You're holy. You're sons and daughters. Wow, I'm His son. What a beautiful, you know, the value that God puts on us. You know, when we get our values from the television, the media, you know, from our neighbors or books and other things, it destroys us. God, you know, our Lord Jesus, He raises our value. He says, "You are His son and daughter." See, the world puts zero value on the things that God loves. It's this great treasure. See, so as we in Ephesians 3:20, says, "And now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." God is always, with the power that He has given us, He wants to stretch our faith. He wants to continue to push you forward, to do more. He can do more than we ever expect. I never expected to go live in India. Never, ever. I thought, hey, I'll live the rest of my life in New York. You know, it's nice to go to the camps and listen to the preaching of God. Yeah, that's nice. That's good stuff. But I'm going to continue with my career, my dreams, my goals. You know, maybe get a house in Long Island somewhere and get a golden retriever or something. And, you know, just, that's nice. But the Word of God changes you, guys. It changes you. It's just like, wow, this is amazing. If this is good for me, it's good for the other guy down the road and maybe the other country or somewhere else. These people need to hear this. See, it stretches your faith. And as it's just amazing what the Lord has done in these past few years and many of our lives. I think God has worked in all of your lives, right? Many amazing ways. See, in Acts chapter 3, we read about the crippled man. He was begging. He was like, you know, asking for some, you know, some few pennies or something, you know. You know, look at me. He expected just the ordinary. Here's a little few change from Peter. But God gave him some extraordinary, right? God, the Lord healed him. He was expecting a few coins, but God went above and beyond, exceeded his expectations. Life outside of Christ is routine, but in Christ, God can exceed our expectations if we're willing to step forward in faith. in Luke chapter 6:38. Luke 6:38. I'm a little tired, guys, so maybe you can hear it from the jet lag and stuff, so I apologize for that. Luke 6:38, it says there, let's see, where are we? Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, but for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Same. God is, our God is not a get-by God, is He? He gives more above and beyond than we ever ask. And He has done that in my life, and I bet He has done that in your life. More than you ever expected. As you step forward in faith, you continue to do His will, as you continue to press forward. See, God provided Peter, right? Look at Peter, how He provided for him. Okay, we got to pay the tax. Okay, go fishing, Peter. Here, go, it's not a problem. Whatever, see, God can provide. Sometimes we limit God. He can provide for your physical needs. If you continue to step forward in faith, maybe there'll be trials and challenges, but continue to trust in Him. Go fishing in Matthew 17, 27. How did He pay the tax? Do you remember? Who remembers? How did Peter pay the tax? From what? Right? He went fishing and he caught a fish and it was, right? He found the money inside the fish, right? God provided quail by shifting the wind for the Israelites. Okay, you need some food, T? Here, I'll just ship some wind. Okay, there it is. All of you guys, 2 to 3 million people, no problem. Here's a lot of, here's all the meat you can eat. So that's in Numbers chapter 11, 31 to 34. We serve a God who is in control of the universe. He can do the impossible, but He wants you to step forward in faith, trust in Him. Right? We need to believe more and pray more. Can we do that? Yes, we can. Be thankful. Be thankful for the blessings God has granted all of us. We are the blessed above all people on the face of the earth. Right? So, as we continue to press forward. So, all of this stuff that we have been learning, being seated with Christ in glory, the knowledge and understanding of being able to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, is that exciting? That is, wow, that is just amazing that we don't just come to worship. We are in the presence of the Lord and Lord Almighty all the time. Every second. See, that's fun to preach about. But I have to constantly ask myself, how am I doing? How am I doing that? How am I doing it in my life? In my everyday life? I've been preaching this for years and years. How's my attitude when things don't go the way that that I planned? How's my attitude? How's my relationship with the Lord? See, I know this stuff. So, the way we live our lives is sending a message to those around us. We know all this, the truths from the Scriptures. It should transform our lives first. Before it can change the world around us, it should change us. In 2 Corinthians 3, in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2 and 3. It says, "You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart." See, all the wonderful teaching that we might get on Sunday morning or throughout the week or throughout the year, it's nothing if we don't put it into practice. Practice. Taking, understanding that we have His Spirit, it really, the rubber meets the road when we go out that door. See, it's not how much we say to people, it's how you live. Live with the knowledge and understanding, with the truth that has been given. How do you handle the everyday challenges of life? We are the letter of God. It's as it says in the Scripture, 2 Corinthians. You are our letter written on in our hearts, known and read by all men. How consistent are we when you go out? Is life beating you down? You know, does life beat you down every day? It beats me down. You know, life beats you down. Lose a job. Get some medical reports that are not too favorable. Life gets you down a lot of times. Every one of us. How do we handle it? With the knowledge of the truth as new creations, as God's sons and daughters, His emissaries to the world. How are we dealing with all the challenges? With what has been given to us? We are the most blessed of all people on the face of the earth. See? Do we go out there with a smile even when things don't go our way, the way we planned? Serving others. You know, the best way to evangelize is not more than our, you know, our actions speak louder than words. Our life has to be our message. When people see you living a life of integrity day in, day out, every day, happy, friendly, overcoming, they see you have challenges, but how do you handle those challenges? That makes a huge difference. The world is getting darker and darker. It's in a mess. But it's, you guys are the light of the world. It is time for us as the body of Christ to shine brighter and brighter. See, to shine brightly in this dark world with the knowledge of the truth that has been given to us. See, in that way we can make a great impact. See, it's more than all the scripture we can quote and or the other things. Those are great things, but it's our life. It's our everyday life. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, 7 and 8. It says there, in all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. That's good advice, right? In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds. See, but what if we walk around as new creations, as sons of light, walking around complaining about our job? Oh, I hate this job. Oh, I hate it. Oh, this is just, oh man. About our health, you know, health problems, our health care. How about the traffic? Anybody complain about traffic? You guys don't complain about traffic. This is not traffic. It's not traffic. So heat. Oh, you don't got heat. There's no heat. You guys don't have heat, right? About the snow, probably snow and cold weather, yeah. Politics, how about politics? What if we walk around like everybody else in this world, complaining and grumbling and... will that make a big difference? No. It'll destroy our example. You know? In Matthew 5:16. How much time do I have? Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, let your light shine. Christ dwells in you and I. The fullness of the deity, right? He dwells in you. As parents, we can tell our children, right? Be kind. Elijah, be kind. Be kind to your sister. You know, don't be rude. How are we doing? Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. You know, how are we doing at home? How's our relationship with our spouse, our wife, or our husband? How do we talk to each other? You know, we can put a show on, you know. I'm talking to myself also. In the assembly with each other, this is light. to be among others of like mind. It's great, but how do we do things at home or when we're at our job or when things don't go our way? How do our children see us? How does our children see us at home? Do they see mom and dad arguing over the smallest things and, you know, frustrated and... You know? Our message to them will go in one ear and go out the other. We who are mature, those who have been in Christ, and those who have come to the knowledge of the truth, whose sins have been forgiven, has the Holy Spirit, what are we communicating to our children, to those around us? Most people are not going to read their Bibles. People in the world, they're not going to read their Bibles, but they're going to what? Read you and I. They're going to look at our lives. You know, they're going to look at our lives. We're the first Bible that they will read. See, they might never hear a sermon or be part of any Bible study, but they are watching you. They are watching how you handle every single situation. Like you're under the microscope. You know, my relatives, my family, friends, my neighbors are always watching us. You know, they're in India. They're constantly watching. Hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? What are you doing? You know, my whole family, how we interact, everything, all the time. We go to the supermarket. We could go to a mall and everybody says, hey, how you doing? I was like, oh. They see us. They're watching us. We need to be alert. See, how we live our lives. We should have so much joy and peace. Right? All right, guys, can we have joy and peace? You know, we can be in the, you know, a hurricane, but we're in the midst, we're in the eye of the hurricane, you know, because we're in Christ. There's tremendous peace. There's tremendous peace there. We should be kind and so generous, good nurtured, right? People want to spend time with us. When we get up in the morning, Lord, here I am. I offer my body as a living sacrifice to you. We know that we are in the presence of the Lord every second, every second and minute and hour. We are in His presence. In His presence, the scripture says in Psalms, there is fullness of joy. There is joy. Might be no money in the pockets, or there might be all sorts of issues going on in our lives, but we can have fullness of joy because of what God has done for us. Amen? Amen. See, that's what it means to be the light of the world. The assembly of the saints is like a charging station. You know, we got to charge our phones, right? This is a spiritual charging station to get our mind rewired, you know, like getting a wheel alignment. You know, this is where we get our... Okay, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's where my focus should be during this week. You know, I'm glad we have Wednesday night classes too. That helps out a lot, doesn't it? You know, I'm glad to see all of you guys here together. To getting refocused on what's really, 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 really important. That's our eternity. Today might be our last day. If you're not in Christ, today is a great day to come into Christ. Looking at the scriptures, not what our feelings tell us, but what the scripture says. Right? Our real assignment, brethren, is to when we get out that door, when we go back to our homes, when we're by ourselves, when we go to the grocery store, when we're driving our car, that's where all the stuff we have learned, we get to put it into practicality. We get to apply it. We get to apply what we have learned. It's easy to be light in the assembly, but we are called to go out into the darkness, to be hope to the hopeless world. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God as dearly beloved children. Be imitators of God. You know, His character. You know, we have the glory of God dwells in us. His character. We know exactly His love, His compassion, His forgiveness, His mercy, His generosity. We know all that. It's not more knowledge we need. It's transformation in our everyday life that is essential right now. See, Light in the midst of light is not very effective. You know, I can turn on my, right? I got my watch phone here. Let me turn on. Okay. Ooh, it's not very effective. Where's the light switch here? Do you have a light switch here? Can somebody turn off the light here, please? Is it very effective? It's not very effective here. Okay, still not effective. But point is, turn off all the lights. It's in the darkness where it's most effective. You are light. God has given, allowed you to be light, to be a light to the world. In 1 John 2, verse 6, 1 John 2, 6, says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to do what? If God dwells in you, he should do what? What's the purpose? He ought to walk in the same manner. The same manner. No, it can't be done, Benoit. What are you talking about? I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace. That's all. Is that what the scripture says? God has empowered us. He has given us victory. He has come. The infinite God has come down. Come down and became a man. Hebrews chapter 2. He became like one of us for the very purpose to, so that we would walk in his same character. His same character. That's not burdensome. That's exciting to me. You know, 1 John 2, 6. John 13, 15. You know, so many examples there. You know, father bought his son a flashlight. He took it out on a bright sunny day and turned it on, the little boy, and shined it around. You know, he couldn't see anything. Daddy, it doesn't work. This flashlight doesn't work. His father said, it's fine, son. It wasn't designed to work in the light. See, it was made for the darkness. The world is getting dark, guys. We are the light of the world. We are the ones who can bring that hope. See, that's where, when you can truly see what it's really capable of. In the darkness, you can see what it's, what it can really do. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians 3, 17. It says there, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. These guys, the first century Christians, Peter and Paul and John, and these guys were walking in the light. They said, come follow in our example. See, you don't have to, you know, as you reach out to people, you don't have to, you know, you might not be a preacher, you know, evangelist, but being, just having a good attitude. Can you make a difference in somebody's life by just having a good attitude? Yes? I'm just like, wow. I'm shocked when people have good attitudes when difficult times. It's like, wow, that's amazing. You know, it's super encouraging. Just by being good at having good attitudes, you know, you don't have to go and go around when you meet people like, you should do this and do that. Show by your example. Lead the way. You know? Appreciate, you know, it's truly convicting, right? When you see somebody else doing what's right and leading, be happy, be a person of excellence. Simple things. Are those hard things to do? Being a person of excellence at your job? Excellent. Being excellent. Working, you know, going the extra mile. Yeah, I'll do it. Yes, sir, I can do that. No problem. You know, with a great attitude. I'm always, when I was doing my business in New York, I was looking for people. They were rare. Guys who have excellent character and willing to work hard. They were very hard. I'm willing to pay them, you know, instead of $100, I will pay them $200. No problem. If they will just do things with a great attitude. See, but it's being, we who are in Christ, we can have excellence in everything we do. With your actions, not just your words. Actions. Be different. When everybody else is discouraged and lazy, you are motivated and enthusiastic and hardworking because you, through your example, can impact their life and lead them to Christ. And you might not be able to, you might have a hard time teaching them the scriptures, or you're still learning about the scriptures, but you can by your example, encourage them. Hey, I know somebody who is a great Bible study teacher, and it's like, lead them to that person. See, amazing things. See, we can, God will send us into dark places so you can make a difference. Sometimes we are placed in difficult situations so our light will shine brighter. You know, quit complaining about the family you're married into, the in-laws you have. You're not there by accident. God has placed you there for a purpose so you can be a light. Be a light with wherever God has placed you. He wants you to brighten that place up. See, let's not add more darkness, but be a light. Be hope. Be respectful even when they're not. When people are cursing at you, they're gossiping about you, you forgive. Isn't that what Christ has called us to be? When people insult you, forgive them. Love them. Think about their eternity. Remember that tape we looked at, guys? That eternity. Think of that person being on fire for eternity. You know, if somebody stole this couple of dollars from us, or they did this or that to us, is it worth for them to go into the eternal fire? Is it? No. See, He wants us to brighten wherever we are at. And we are the hope for those people, whoever they may be. See? So the darker the situation, the brighter you and I can shine with the hope we have in Christ. There's so much more. I think my time's up. I'm not sure. But I really appreciate this opportunity to share with you and encourage you. And I hope it was encouraging. You know, our lives are short and temporary. We all have trials, right? We all have trials and challenges that beat us down. But we have the Word of God. It beats us down. But get hold of God's Word. Whatever the world does to us, as we gaze intently into the Word of God, we can overcome all things. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let's press forward. Let's keep shining. Let's be those examples that God has called us to be. Bye.
Appreciate that, brother. Liked the example of charging the cell phone. Get a chance to come in first day of the week and recharge ourselves and get our mindset going down the right path. And just for the reminder that each one of us at some point in our life found ourselves at enmity with God because of the choices we had made. We had that death sentence written about us. And because of His grace and His Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, not only did He free us from that jailhouse of sin that we are in, but He has called us to walk in the same manner. And that we have that opportunity, you know, to change the world for Him, to glorify His name. I mean, He sits on the throne and He is good. And He is righteous and holy and just. And it's what He desires is for the whole world to recognize that and come to the knowledge of that. He is good, and He has chosen us, His people, to be that light that's shining in the dark place, to communicate that, not so that we can exercise a righteousness that's of our own, but that we can show how good and merciful and that God is light to this world. And so just excited for each one of us today to think about where we can start implementing those things into our life or to tweak these things here and there. And I'm just thinking about the great message and just at home, just go home and be a better version for Jesus Christ. Be more patient and merciful and forgiving and to do the part that God has called you to bring. So just really excited and thankful for that message. Let's stand. The rubber meets the road as soon as we walk out those doors. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank You so much for Your mercy and Your grace and Your love, and that You have kind of written Your plan backwards, that you know You desire a people who can show Your righteousness, to show Your goodness. And so, you know, kind of in my words, You decided to be able to bring about a people who would not only believe in You without sight, but that would have a faith in a God that they have not seen, and that through that you could produce an eternal faith in us. That this faith becomes sight, and we receive our reward. But it is for an eternity, and it's a wonderful gift. It's one that we should all make the mental calculation that if that little black stretch on that tape seems long, to realize that really whatever it takes during that time is worth the eternity that you have promised us, that the sufferings of this life do not compare to the glories that are going to be revealed to us. So as you look down the line, you were thinking you could bring about a people that would not only believe in you, but be willing to lay down their life for you as they follow in the example of Jesus Christ, your Son, and we are your people. So just a great reminder this morning to be stimulated to love and good deeds, to love as Christ loved, and to be willing to do the things that Jesus did and to follow in his footsteps so that we can honor and glorify your name. There is no other job or position or hobby or thing that we could hold and cling to in this life that brings more honor and more glory and more satisfaction than to honor your name through our life. So we thank you for that opportunity to do it. We are your mighty resurrected army, and we stand before you in faith, ready to do your will, and thankful for the resources and the grace and the spirit that you've given us to do it. Let's go out and be your mighty army and represent your name. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.